Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and welcome to the Advent season, which is the beginning of the time of expectation for the birth of Jesus. I feel very blessed to be here today and to be able to notice the start of this season on our calendar with all of you. I have the benefit of being asked to share this Sunday, so I could not miss being here today with all of you. And however, I felt on years in the past sort of feeling like I accidentally missed the beginning of Advent. Many people travel on this weekend and there's so much attention around the holidays beginning that if we're not careful, we mindlessly slump into the Christmas season with a food baby from too much turkey, pie, and mashed potatoes, and roll into the consumerism of Christmas. However, the readings for today reveal a very different and unique purpose for this season. Anne Barnett shared last week about the end of times and keeping hope and life through the darkness. We've just contemplated the end of the world or of time, and then go right into the beginning again with the expectation of new life. We observe the same liturgical calendar every year, repeating the same key seasons and events. Advent, which is the season of expectation and birth and new life. Then Epiphany, the revelation of the gift of life among us. Lent, solidarity in suffering. Holy Week, the actual suffering, Easter, the resurrection, life triumphing, Pentecost, life in us and alongside us. I'm struck by how applicable each of these seasons are to our normal lives. We experience these phases in our own lives in a smaller sense, but we do experience them. It often does not feel like a logical order or a smooth or natural flow from one phase to the next, and sometimes multiple phases at once. A new job, a child graduating from school, a new relationship, the passing of a loved one, a difficult boss, uncertainty about the next step, the birth of a child, financial stress, a new mission, etc. At times, there are no warning signs of each season, but we do experience them in our own ways. In Advent, we're warned to notice the expectation, the signs of what is to come. We're reminded that how we perceive the future influences how we live in the present. The Old Testament scripture tells of the coming of Jesus. Watch for this. The time is coming. God's decree, when I will keep the promise I made to the families of Israel and Judah. When that time comes, I will make a fresh and true shoot sprout from the David tree. Jeremiah talks about a shoot sprouting, a little plant coming up, fulfilling the promise, bringing safety and justice. In the gospel message, Jesus warns of the end of times again, of the sky and the earth wearing out, and the Son of Man being welcomed again, the second coming of Christ. He tells us that the signs will be like leaves showing on a tree, signaling that summer is coming. He says, when this happens, you know God's kingdom is about here. He also warns to take this seriously and says that this is for the present generation as well as future generations. Sky and earth will wear out, my words won't wear out. But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone everywhere at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. And that's from the Message translation, for those of you that are surprised to hear shopping mentioned in the God's kingdom is about here. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. The intention of this season is to practice contemplation and simplicity so that we can notice the signs of hope and be ready for them when they arrive. How hard to do from today through December 25th. We must be aware of this, though, because if not, our senses will be dulled. I'm grateful to see these signs of hope already in our community, neighborhoods, institutions, and friends. In the epistle reading, Paul gives thanks for the community of followers in Thessalonica and the solidarity that they have together. He describes not being able to give enough thanksgiving for the joy they feel in knowing their community. He asks for God to clear the road to them that they may be connected easily to each other, that love will splash around on them and everyone who's with them. What a beautiful image. I notice particularly Paul's identification of the feeling of joy from their community. We talk about joy in this season, rightfully so. However, where do we think it comes from, or how do we get it or give it to each other? I think that joy is the evidence or sign of life. And this is what we hope for, expect, and await in this season. But what will actually come or happen on Christmas Day? Jesus will not be physically born, because that has already happened, but rather we simply notice and become more aware of the life that is being renewed in us and around us. God's kingdom is about here. Where do we see it? I share time in the L'Arche community, as Gail mentioned already, at Ontario House, several blocks from here. I know that this place is a sign of this new life. Some of you here have known L'Arche for a long time, and others learned much more about it a few weeks ago when James and Francine shared with us about their community. For those who don't have an introduction to it, it is communities with and for adults with and without intellectual disabilities sharing life together. Earlier this week, Michael Schaff and I went on an errand, and while walking, I asked him what he thought about the season of Advent. He said, "It's a time to pray." And then he grinned and rubbed his hands together and said, "And we get to light the candles." How clear. We pray and we light the candles in expectation, in the expectation of the arrival of Christ. Thank you, Michael, for such a beautiful description of this time. When learning about L'Arche, people tend to realize at a certain point that the L'Arche homes that exist don't meet the need for providing homes and belonging for all people with intellectual disabilities, really only a small portion. And to that, we respond that L'Arche is only supposed to be a sign of hope, a light in the darkness, not the answer for everyone. Sometimes I think people are disappointed with this answer because it doesn't fully solve the problem. And sometimes I am too. But it does offer an example and witness that we need to see. Sometimes in this neighborhood, I feel overwhelmed by the abundance of these examples of signs of the kingdom of God. Faithful presence is lived out in so many organizations and communities in radical ways across class, intellectual ability, age, race, physical health, mental health, etc. And we see which signs invite us to participate, paying mind to the process of the journey to the road. In this season, we are called to the practice of awaiting and noticing these signs of life around us so that we're better able to respond to them when we see them in our normal lives. This is how we cultivate a sharp edge to our expectation. The attention to the birth and arrival of baby Jesus and the pregnancy of Mary is a way for us to connect to the birth of new life in the world today or coming soon. But of course, this is not easy, and sometimes we block our own vision. It is important to be together in this pursuit of contemplation and action, because this is quite counter to our common culture, especially at Christmas time, and God is realized in our communion with one another. In Community and Growth, Jean Vanier shares about a member of the L'Arche community realizing this. The other day, Colleen, who has been living in community for more than 25 years, told me, "I have always wanted to be transparent in community. I have wanted more than anything to avoid being an obstacle to God's love for the others. Now I am beginning to discover that I am an obstacle, and I always shall be. But isn't the recognition that I am an obstacle, sharing that with my brothers and sisters and asking their forgiveness, what community life is all about? We are each obstacles to our own hopes for life together. But we cannot enter into life together without ourselves, and the recognition that we're obstacles helps to soften the barrier and free us. I know that there is much forgiveness and hope in the 8th Day community. God's kingdom is about here. Whether or not we experience or believe in the second coming of Christ, this message is still relevant for our time. As Jesus reminds us, don't brush this off. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out." Jean Vanier also articulates this renewed hope present here and now. "A new hope is indeed being born today. Some people are dreaming of Christian civilization as it used to be. They dream of chivalry. They sense that the power of egoism, hatred, and violence is reaching everywhere. Others want to harness these forces of violence to break up the old world of private property and bourgeois wealth. And finally, some see in the cracks of our civilization the seeds of a new world. Individualism and technology have gone too far. The illusion of a better world based on economics and technique are evaporating. Across these cracks, some human hearts are being reborn and discovering that there is hope within and not outside them, a hope that they can today love and create community because they believe in Jesus Christ. A renaissance is coming. Soon there will be a multitude of communities founded on adoration and presence to the poor, linked to each other and the great communities of the church, which are themselves being renewed and have already been journeying for years and sometimes centuries. A new church is indeed being born. In our time, when there is so much infidelity, when there are so many broken marriages, so many disturbed relationships, so many children who are angry with their parents, so many people who have not been faithful to their vows, more and more communities need to be born as signs of fidelity. Communities of students or friends who come together for a time can be signs of hope. But communities whose members live a covenant with God, among themselves, and above all with the poor who surround them or live with them, are more important still. They are becoming signs of the fidelity of God. The Hebrew word hesed expresses two things, fidelity and tenderness. In our civilization, we can be tender but unfaithful, and faithful without tenderness. The love of God is both tenderness and fidelity. Our world is waiting for communities of tenderness and fidelity. They are coming. I'm encouraged by the legacy of the Church of the Savior and know that many of the communities that we have today are the fruit of the work of tenderness and fidelity, or faithful presence. I must give credit for the phrase faithful presence to James Davison Hunter from the book To Change the World, which Fred Taylor, Betsy Baker, David Hilfiker, and some of my housemates and friends fumbled through in a book group a couple of years ago. Hunter calls Christians to a life of faithful presence in their communities, institutions, relationships, churches, neighborhoods, as the only real, authentic way to living out their faith with the hope of possibly changing the world for the better. He says, the practice of faithful presence then generates relationships and institutions that are fundamentally covenantal in character, the ends of which are the fostering of meaning, purpose, truth, beauty, belonging, and fairness, not just for Christians, but for everyone. This is not really the glorious, adventurous answer that I and my peers, as an idealistic and hopeful 20-something, was expecting to find. However, the more time I spend with the Larch community, Eighth Day, in this neighborhood, and with my family and dear ones, I know that this is true. The kingdom is waiting to arrive right here. Will we notice when it comes and join in? I am full of thanks today, on the lookout for joy, hopeful for silence, and want to be together in this season. May the hope of Jesus' birth and new life be alive in each of us. Amen.
Amen.